Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We are online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link also at thetrumpet.com. If you can't catch this program live, that's okay. You can listen to the podcasts. Those are available at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm as well. And that goes for all of the programming here on Trumpet Radio. One of the biggest questions in every person's life is, what happens after we die? What happens? What happened to our loved ones that have died? What will happen to us? It's a question that everyone considers at some point in their life. The world is very confused about what happens after people die. But the book of Revelation gives a time sequence for prophecy, and this includes the resurrections. That's right, there's more than one. The word of God is clear that there will be more than one resurrection. In fact, there are three resurrections that the Bible talks about. For most of today's program, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 goes into detail about these three resurrections, and it's critical that we understand this truth. So if you have a Bible, it would be great to get it out and turn to Revelation 20, and we'll look at several passages primarily from Revelation 20 dealing with the resurrections. Revelation 20 and verse 4 says this, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So here's a group of people that are resurrected. Over the years, they obeyed God, and some right at the end, before Christ's return, they had to not accept the mark of the beast, as it talks about here. And so this is referring to God's people that have been loyal to Him all throughout man's history, and then specifically those at the end, including repentant Laodiceans. Notice verse 5, it says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." And so we have to understand here that in verse 5, where it says, "This is the first resurrection," that's referring to what was just described in verse 4. Verse 4, that first resurrection. And those are people that were loyal to God before Christ's return. Because as we read there, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, a millennial rule with Jesus Christ, resurrected. Humans that no longer are humans but are actually born again at that point, and they're actually spirit, they're actually God beings, members of the God family, lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then in verse 5, as we read there, it begins to talk also about the second resurrection. Because in the beginning it says, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." So we see clearly here that the dead live again, but the rest of them didn't live again until the 1,000 years were finished. So at the end of the millennium, the end of that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ and his resurrected saints, there's a time period where the dead live again. And this is pictured by God's holy day plan. It's pictured by the last great day. The last great day. Verse 6 says this, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection." Well, why is that? Well, it explains it as we keep reading here. They're blessed and they're holy because, as it says, on such... So on those that come up in that first resurrection, On such, the second death has no power. There is a second death. People can die a second time, and that's an eternal death, as we'll see. Verse 6 continues and says, but they shall be priests, these that live during that millennium, that are resurrected and live during that time period and reign with Christ. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What an awesome reward. They live on and on and on, but they have that 1,000 years to help Christ rule this earth. The first resurrection is the resurrection of God's first fruits. And God's first fruits are pictured by the day of Pentecost in the spring, the Feast of Pentecost. This first resurrection is the resurrection of God's first fruits, those called and converted before Christ's second coming. Before Christ's second coming, they're called, they're converted, and they die in the faith if they die, or they're changed at Christ's return. They have God's Holy Spirit in them, flowing in them, and they are producing the fruits of God's Spirit. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is a free course, it's a Bible course at thetrumpet.com. If you don't have it, please sign up for it. It's a great course. It says this: this resurrection, the rest of the dead, which will occur after the 1,000 years, is the second resurrection. It will be a resurrection to mortal life. Mortal life, not spirit at this point. After the 1,000-year millennium, where Christ and his resurrected saints rule on this earth, then the rest of the dead, those who never knew God's truth, so they lived a mortal life. They were deceived, as most of the world is. They never knew God's truth, even though maybe they heard the name of Christ, but they didn't know his truth. Those people will be resurrected to mortal life. They will be given a chance at that time to learn about God's laws, his true gospel message, have God's Spirit, and develop the very character of God. They will have their chance at that point to learn about God's way and apply it and develop God's character. God's perfectly fair. There's not any person that's ever lived that won't have an opportunity to know God's truth, develop God's character, and be born into his family. Everybody has that chance. So the person that died at 8 years of age and never really had a chance to learn too much about anything in this life, they're going to have a chance. They'll be resurrected again. What about a 3-year-old? Sure, absolutely. What about somebody that lived to be 80 but never even heard about Christ, never even read the Bible? They'll have a chance too. Everybody will have a chance. Notice, continuing in Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10, it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, so the end of this millennium, where Christ and the saints are ruling, it says, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So during that millennial time period, Satan's confined. He's not allowed to influence this world. Does Satan have an influence on this world today? Well, of course he does. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says he's the god of this world, right? And he broadcasts, and he's cast down. You can read about that in Revelation 12. So during the millennium, he's put away, so he cannot broadcast. And without his broadcast there, and with God's government ruling the earth, there's peace, there's joy, there's abundant well-being. But at the end of that time period, he is loosed for a little season. Verse 8 says, he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went out, verse 9, upon the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. So they're going to try to overthrow Jerusalem. It says, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and he devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute. That's a mistranslation there. It should be where the beast and the false prophet were, but we'll talk about that in a moment. If you look in your Bible, in most cases the word are is in italics, meaning it was added and it was not originally in the Greek. But it says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So Satan will never die. He is spirit. But after his last chance at deceiving this world, in which he'll have some success, he will be put away forever. And as it says, tormented day and night, because he's just a miserable being. The correspondence course says, this will prove for anyone who might doubt that Satan cannot repent, even after he sees the wonderful results of 1,000 years of righteous rule. The humans who are so easily deceived into fighting Christ will also be proving that they weren't paying attention to what they were being taught at the close of the 1,000 years. So think about that. I mean, this will be a millennial time period, 1,000 years, where God's government will be ruling this earth. Jesus Christ will be ruling with his first fruit bride. And people will be taught. They'll see the great advantages, the benefits, the blessings from obeying God. They'll be taught about what happens if they go the wrong way. They have 6,000 years of human history to look back on and see that things didn't work out when man went his own way. And even still, some will be deceived. And as it points out, because, well, they're just not paying that much attention. Well, that's a big warning for us today. If you're hearing this message and your mind understands it, you know, you could be in danger of just not paying that much attention to it. Maybe it's not as exciting as some other activity or event, but we have to be careful, because if we don't really pay attention, we kind of let the truth of God go in one ear and out the other, as the expression goes, and we don't apply it, and we don't love it more than, say, other things in this life, then we're in danger of being deceived ourselves. So there's a great warning there. The course continues and says, Satan and the demons will then be cast into the lake of fire. Some Bibles use italics to show the word are in verse 10 was added by the translators, and it is not found in the Greek manuscripts. The phrase should read, where the beast and the false prophet were cast. The Amplified Bible has it correct. The beast and false prophet will be cast into a lake of fire at the beginning of the millennium. You can read about that in Revelation 19 and verse 20. And these two mortal men, this beast and false prophet, will be killed and consumed by that fire. And by the time Satan is cast into that fire, the beast and false prophet will have been dead more than 1,000 years. So there's a lot of information here about the beast and the false prophet and so forth. And so you'll have to study more into that. We have other information at thetrumpet.com to get the whole picture of these prophetic events. But again, we're focusing on the timetable here of what happens, and specifically considering the resurrections from the dead during these time periods. The course continues and says, in the lake of fire, Satan will be able to do nothing, causing him great mental torment. He's tormented. He's a miserable being, and he can't repent. And so he's going to be trapped with his own thoughts and their negative thoughts. God, it says, will have rendered him completely powerless, unable to deceive the rest of the dead, who will then be resurrected to have their opportunity to understand God's master plan. Those that are resurrected during that last great day time period, right after the millennium, again, that second resurrection, they'll have 100 years to learn God's truth, to obey God. They won't have to deal with Satan's broadcast. They're going to have their opportunity to understand God's master plan. And when their minds are open, most people will accept it. Most people will clearly see and say, oh, of course, what a great plan. But today, most people don't see it. Those that come up in the second resurrection or the last great day, they've already dealt with Satan in their first human life. They'll remember what it was like, right? I mean, it won't take a lot of convincing for people that lived once in this world. It won't take a lot of convincing to tell them that Satan's way didn't work. How about those that spent their lives addicted to drugs? How about those that spent their lives in prisons? Those that died in the battlefields of the great world wars? Those that maybe didn't have those issues but had misery in their family, or went through multiple divorces, or had other situations where they suffered because of sin. It won't take a lot of convincing to tell them that there's a way that's better than that. There's a way that works, and it's God's law, because they'll remember what it was like in this physical life. And they know that, obviously, there is a way that is much better. They'll know it at that time. And they'll be able to look at the millennium and see what great joy has come from that by following God's ways. So they'll be ready to learn for sure, and they're going to need teachers. Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Revelation 20, the correspondence course says, Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12 refer to the second resurrection, a resurrection to mortal life for all those who died in spiritual ignorance in past ages. They will then have an opportunity for salvation. All of those dead, small and great, they'll be alive again, standing before God. They're going to come back to life physically. God will bring them back to life. They're going to have a chance, as it says, an opportunity for salvation. Notice something here in Matthew 12. Christ talked about this. Matthew 12, and we'll come back to Revelation 20 here in a little bit, but just to interject a point from Matthew 12, verses 41 through 42, Christ said, "The men of Nineveh," you remember Nineveh, "shall rise in judgment with this generation." He was talking to the people that he was, you know, dealing with at that time. And they're going to come up, most of them, in the second resurrection. So he said, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." The people in Christ's day, most of them did not recognize him as they should have, as the Messiah, or they denied it. Verse 42 says, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, the greater than Solomon is here." And so Christ was touching on these different points in history. The people in Nineveh, the queen of the south that came to hear Solomon, and he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, if you look a little further there, and he also talks about other peoples throughout the history of man. And the course mentions that Jesus gave enough examples of people living at widespread times to prove that most of humanity will be brought back to life at the same time on this earth. There will be pre-flood men and women. Imagine that, all those people from before the flood. What was their experience like? It'll be fascinating to talk to them. But they'll have their opportunity for salvation. Who else? Well, all 12 tribes of Israel. We read about some of their examples, of course. They're written for our admonition. We read about those. And we'll meet those people. They'll come back. Those who lived during the Middle Ages and the vast majority living now. Oh, great men of history, the small and the great. People with all with amazing stories. All with interesting experiences. All with life experience. And they'll be ready. Their minds will be open. Remember, Christ said, he stood up during the last great day and he said, "All that thirst, come to me and drink." Right? They're going to have plenty to drink. In other words, God's Spirit's going to be open to all of mankind at that point. And anybody that wants to learn, anybody that wants salvation, they can come and get it freely. It will be there for them. They had trials and tribulations in this life. They probably wondered, well, why did things go this way? Or what's the purpose of life? Well, they'll know then. They'll know. They'll be resurrected. And they're going to need people to teach them. To teach them the truth. So if you're one that is being taught now and your mind's open and you're called, as it says in John 6 and verse 44, well, then the onus is on you and it's on me to learn everything we can. Because we're going to have to teach people. Their opportunity for salvation is coming. and they're going to need very qualified teachers that know the subjects of the Bible very well. The course says even babies and children who died untimely deaths will be resurrected then. You see that in the news pretty often, unfortunately. A small child dies, gets sick, or maybe there's an accident and the parents grieve. You know, understandably, they just grieve. Their hearts ache for that child. The child's coming back. They're going to come back. They're all coming back. And it's hard now, but they're all coming back. See, that's the hope in God's holy day plan. Why would anyone want to throw that away if they knew it, if they understood it? Where else is there hope? Where else is there hope? There's hope. Those people are coming back. And it's easy to think about these topics in sort of a scholarly way, I suppose. But when somebody's gone through a tragedy, when they've had somebody die out of season, and they miss them, and they want to see them again, well, this is the hope. This is a very real hope. And God is going to raise people back up, some in the first resurrection, if they were saints, if they were loyal to God the Father and Jesus Christ, before Christ's second coming, and they were called then and died in the faith, they'll be in that first resurrection before the millennium, right at the beginning of it, when Christ returns. But those that didn't know the truth, they'll come up in the second resurrection. That's right after the millennium, pictured by the last great day. They will have their chance. It says they will rise, all of them, in the second resurrection, because they had not been called by God during their first lifetime. Is God fair? Of course he is. They're all going to have their chance at salvation. Revelation 20. Finally here, Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15. It says, and the sea gave up the dead, all those people that died in shipwrecks over the years. It's always, I always think that would be quite a terrible way to die. But there's been quite a few over the years. Well, the sea's going to give them up. They're coming back. The sea gave up the dead, which were in it, the Titanic, people that were on that ship. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So the graves are going to be opened. People are coming back. All those that died in wars, all those that died in plagues, they're all coming back. It says, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So for those that have their minds open to God's truth, which everyone will, and they say, I'm not interested in that. I'm going to go a different direction. I don't want to do that. Well, their end is they get thrown into the lake of fire, and they die, they burn up. And that's merciful, because they're bitter, and they're angry, and they just won't turn it around, and so it's better that they're put out of their misery. They won't have pain and suffering beyond the, I suppose, the momentary death. It'll be over for them. And that is the merciful thing to do, rather than to let people live on in absolute misery and torment like Satan has to. But that's what will happen to hopefully just a very few. There shouldn't be too many, but unfortunately we do live in the Laodicean era today where many of God's people have turned away from the truth. They've been called today and they've turned away from it. And so what's the end of that if they don't repent? The second death. Those are the words of God. Verse 15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, if your name is not written in God's book of life, then you will go into the second death. And the same is true of me or anybody. And again, hopefully that'll be very few. God doesn't want anyone to go through that. That's not what he desires. But there are some that just refuse. Very few, but let's make sure it's not us. The correspondence course says the relatively few people who already had their opportunity to receive eternal life but deliberately rejected it and sinned willfully, those few will be resurrected in the third and final resurrection, and they will be destroyed in the lake of fire. So to recap, the first resurrection is those who were called by God and grew in his character before Christ's second coming. And at Christ's return, they are resurrected as spirit-born God beings. And if they're still alive at that point when Christ returns, they're changed in the twinkling of an eye. The second resurrection is pictured by the last great day. We need to understand God's holy day plan, don't we? The second resurrection is pictured by the last great day right after the thousand-year millennium. And this will be all those who lived and died and never knew God's truth, never had that opportunity. They will then have a chance to be mortal again, to be humans, and learn God's way and grow in his character, and then be able to be born spirit as God beings. Born again. They'll have their opportunity. And then the third resurrection is the one to eternal death. And it's those relatively few who have learned God's truth and then rejected it and rejected God's way. And they will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the third resurrection. And it's the resurrection to the second death. Just a wonderful plan that God has. And again, most people will accept God's truth and be in God's family forever. And it gives us great hope, great joy, and something wonderful to look forward to far beyond the momentary pleasures of this life. The wonderful excitement of the eternity, of the joy and the happiness and the development in the very kingdom and family of God. If you'd like to learn more about this topic, please sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, especially Lesson 35. And also, you could read our free booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which all of it's free, and it's at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.